This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Remember we talked about, it was a couple weeks ago, but we talked about, we're doing a story of Jairus. We're looking at a story in Mark chapter 5 of Jairus, and we had a lady there with an issue of blood. She had a blood problem. So I'm going to just recap her real quick because the two stories intersect. Jairus goes to Jesus and says, I got a daughter that's dying. Would you come and lay hands on her and she'll be healed and she'll live? And then in the middle of that, there's a lady there. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. She had a bleeding problem. She'd had it for 12 years. She'd spent all her money. And she was trying to get better, and she was no better. She was getting worse. The Bible says she heard of Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the throng. There were a whole bunch of people around him. She came in the throng behind him and touched the hem of his cloak. Because she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she was. She didn't ask Jesus. We said she snuck a healing, and really she did. She just kind of came. Nobody was looking. She came through the crowd, came through the back, and got healed. Then Jesus turns around and goes, okay, who touched me? And she's like, ugh. And so she told him all the truth, and we learned some things from her. One, we learned even though she had had a situation for 12 years, she had not so much embraced that situation that she determined that's the way it's always going to be. You got to keep some fight about you. You can't just embrace every negative situation and go, well, I've been this way for a long time. I guess that's the way it's always going to be. No, thank God. We know someone who is a healer, who is a deliverer, who is a savior, who can do things in our lives. And regardless of what's been going on, I don't care how long it's been going on, change can take place. So we don't just embrace everything and say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Then we recognize that it's vitally important what you hear. She heard about Jesus. Now, she didn't go to Bible school. She didn't have a Bible. She heard about Jesus. She must have heard that Jesus was a healer. Because when she heard about Jesus, she comes pushing through a crowd. That wasn't easy. Push through a crowd, touch the hem of his garment. What you hear is important. I won't go into all that, but you're always welcome to download that or get that. I think we still do CDs that are available. Now, third thing that we found out is she believed that God would do something for her. That Jesus would do something for her. If she could touch Jesus. And oftentimes with people, I see that people kind of have a caste system where they believe that there are certain people that they are just super, super special and God does wonderful things for them. And then there's other people and then there's them. And you have to believe that God is no respecter of persons. He's totally just and totally fair, and he'll do good things for you. That's a great way to think. You say, well, Alan, you don't know my background. Doesn't matter your background. Well, Alan, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. What does matter is who is your Lord and Savior. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you have the right to stand there with the rest of the saints of God, and there is no caste system. The Bible said God is not a respecter of persons. So that means you can come to the Lord and go, Lord, thank you. I don't come in my own name. I don't come in my parents' name. I don't come in my background's name. I come in the name of Jesus to ask you for this. And that's the name that gets recognized. You ever have as a parent, you ever give your credit card to your kids? They have no problem using that bad boy. They'll swipe that thing in a heartbeat. And it's just like, but it's not their money. They don't have any money. For a long time, none of my kids had money. I'm so grateful. Every one of them is a revenue-producing part of society now. That is really good. But there were days that there were not. When they take the card, you just see it show up on your account. And you're like, what in the world? Hey, it was not their money, but it was my card, and they swiped it. Listen, when you go to God, you don't go on your own credit. You go on Jesus' credit. You go, hey, Lord, I got his card. I'm swiping it. That's his name on that. And he's got great credit. It's really, really, really good. All right, so what we didn't talk about, and I'm probably not going to have time to go into too much, but it was this. It's just a good point. Her words were real important. The Bible says she kept saying, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. So why is that important? Because she was speaking really what she believed. The Bible puts a different emphasis on words than we do. Now, I joke around. You hear me use the term sometime. I'll go, just say it. Bible, that's probably not biblically accurate. Because the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what we say is vitally important. And so she wasn't pressing through the crowd going, I hope I can get to him. She just kept pressing through going, if I can touch his clothes, I can be healed. If I can touch his clothes. And what she spoke was what she believed. Say, is that important? It's very important. Because oftentimes we've been trained and taught to express our doubts and our fears. But expressing doubts and fears does not make them go away. And it doesn't make them better. In fact, it makes them worse. If you listen to people talk, sometimes depending on the different industries they come from or what they do, you'll find that some people talk real positively. And the group I'm thinking of is boxers. If you've ever done any boxing, or I guess now really it's MMA fighting. That's a lot more popular now. MMA. You ever listen to those people talk? They don't talk, I don't know. He's really, really big and he hits real hard too. If you got money on that guy, take it off. And if you got money on any of those guys, just bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse if you want. No, but seriously, have you ever heard those guys talk? If you're in a fight, they talk like this. I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna kill him. He ain't gonna make it three rounds. He won't make it to the third. Why? They're speaking what they believe. And it's just as important for us to speak what we believe. And so her words, and I get a chance tonight, I want to touch a little bit more on that. But our words are real important. Let's pick up with the story of Jairus, because I want to talk about Jesus. He had a real interesting interaction with Jairus. So we're gonna read his story. It's in Mark. I'm gonna jump to the 22nd verse, and I'm going to go back down to the 35th, because the lady who was bleeding, she was the one that's kind of, she interrupted the whole story. And so let's read the story here in Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 22 through 23. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? Child's not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given her to eat. So let's talk about Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When a bad situation became worse, don't be afraid. First thing Jesus asked Jairus when he heard that, he said, don't be afraid. Don't give in to fear. Now, Jesus said immediately, as soon as Jesus heard the word, he looked at Jairus and said immediately, he said, don't be afraid. And he asked Jairus to do something that if you're a parent, you have no idea, you're thinking, that's impossible. I don't believe that Jesus asked Jairus to do something that was impossible. That wouldn't have been fair. But he said to him, don't be afraid. And then he was encouraging him that Jesus could still do something. He told him what to do as a substitute. He said, don't be afraid. He said, only believe. Well, believe what? Believe what Jairus had said initially. Jesus, if you'll come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. And to believe on top of that, that Jesus could still do something about that situation. Well, why did he say that to him? Well, you could think as a parent, if you had heard that, you could have screamed and just ran off and ran back to the house. You could have gotten angry because that lady came and took up all that time. I mean, you could be mad because, you know, she's coming, and you could be mad at her. You could be angry at Jesus. Jesus, I don't know why in the world you didn't come when my daughter's dying and you're spending time with this lady and she's telling her whole story. And Jairus, you know, If maybe Jairus is more patient, but if I'd been Jairus, I'd have probably been like, come on, Jesus. But Jesus gave him a command. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, has he changed?
No.
We'll talk about that. So his commands are still the same. Don't be afraid, only believe. Then Jesus, and this is just a little bit different, but I want you to hear this. Jesus created some interesting boundaries. He only took three guys with him, three disciples, which means he told nine guys, no, you can't go. And then he walked in and he said, there were those who were weeping and wailing loudly. We think, well, these are relatives. Actually, the Jews used to hire mourners. And they would hire people who would come in, and the richer you were, the more you had these mourners. And man, you had professional funeral mourners. That was their job. Had a website, everything. Professional funeral mourning. We wail louder than anybody else in town. And these people are just weeping and wailing. You notice they obviously weren't that grieved, because when Jesus said, hey, look, she's not dead, she's sleeping, they immediately went from mourning to ridiculing. Real quick. And so what I like about this is, and they ridiculed him. Isn't it amazing? We think Jesus just kind of walked along and no one ever said anything to him or did anything to him. These were a group of people who were screaming and wailing, and now they're ridiculing Jesus. And I love the next one. But when he put them all outside, it's like, I need all you guys outside. Why? He had something to do, and really having all those people around there breathing their hot breath of unbelief down his neck was not going to help him. So he cleared them all out. They were all outside. Now, I want you to hang on to that point, because I will come back to that. And then Jesus spoke differently about the problem than everybody else did. Jesus walked in and said, why are you wailing? She's sleeping. And they went, ah. And they went off. But you notice Jesus never spoke death once. He spoke life. He said, I say to you, arise. And then I think it's, of course, this little girl comes back from the dead. So the whole family, the Bible said, they're overcome with amazement. They're sitting there, and Jesus is like, y'all need to give her something to eat. Isn't it interesting that Jesus still cared enough about this little girl? It's like, she's been sick for a while. She's hungry. She needs to get her strength back. Give her something to eat. So he even cares about little things. Feed this 12-year-old girl. She's hungry. So, love the story. How does it pertain to us? Learning, and I call this learning from Jesus and following his lead. Here's the first thing. Recognize that fear hinders God's plan in your life. Fear will hinder God's plan. So, God can do anything. Fear can't hinder him. Yeah, it can. Remember the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and they come to the promised land. They sent 12 spies in. Those 12 spies came back out. And in fact, if you read it in Numbers 13, the Lord says very specifically, he said, send 12 men in to the land which I'm giving them. He promised them the land. When these 12 spies came back, they said, it's beautiful land. He said, but we can't do anything about it. We can't take it. We saw, oh my gosh, we saw the giants, and they're huge, and they're these monstrous people, and they have walled cities. And in fact, one of them said, and Caleb stopped him and go, no. He said, no. He said, let's go at once, for we're well able to do it. And they shut him down. And the guy said, no. He said, we look like grasshoppers to them. And that's what we were. He said, we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. He said, and so we were in their sight. And the Bible said that after the people heard that, it said they wept and wailed all that night. And they said, why did God bring us out here to die? And so even though God's plan had been that they go in, fear kept them out. If you look throughout the Bible, fear was one of the things that God deals with people. Gideon's another classic example. If you know the story of Gideon, Gideon wound up with 300 men. He's going down to face an army. And the night before he went down to face an army with his 300, the Lord spoke to him and said, if you're still afraid to go down, then take your servant and go down and hear what they're saying about you. He said, and after you hear, he said, then you'll be strengthened. Fear can hinder you. My first church was a failure. I started in my hometown. It was a mistake. Shouldn't have gone there. We shut it down in a month. And you've heard me talk about that. I don't even know if it qualifies as a failure. I mean, it was a blip on the radar, but it didn't work. My mom stopped coming. And so you know that's bad. When mama looks at you and goes, we feel led to go somewhere else. That's not good. And we shut that thing down. And I remember after I shut it down, we had a very tough year and a half. And it was tough on my family financially. Had two little ones. And man, we were living in an apartment that was dark and cold. And some of you heard this story before. But there's always new people here. And I always enjoy telling it. And so when we came back, God opened up a wonderful door with a company, and all of a sudden, and this is in 1990, I'm making six figures in 1990, and God turned our finances completely around. Well, when you go from being poor to going to having money, the idea of failing again is not a great idea. You're like, oh no, I'm going to stay here and give money to missionaries. You always hear people do that, by the way. They're like, I've got this great deal, Alan, and I'm going to make $1 million, and I'm going to give it all to missions. I'm like, yeah, right, right. But I was pretty set because I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want to do anything. God started working on me to start a church. I didn't want to start a church. I tried to find, for months, I tried to find somebody who wanted me. And the rejection was amazing. Nobody would touch me with a stick, man. This is like, what did I do? And then I tried every other thing but pastoring a church. Why? I didn't want a pastor. Why? I didn't want to start a church. Why? Fear. If you've ever failed at something before, are you real anxious to jump back right in the middle of it? Now, if you are, you're like, well, good for you. That's wonderful. But most of us, if we have failed before, we're very hesitant to go back at it again. And so it was God's plan for us to start a church here? Yeah. Could I have short-circuited? Yeah. Say, Alan, what happened? Did the Lord speak to you? No, Joy did. I'm on the phone. I'm driving. I was going up to see somebody in Huntsville on a sales call. And this was back in the 90s when this was 96, when y'all remember when cell minutes used to cost a whole lot? But your cell phone bill, you could get one, you're like, what? And so I called her, and man, all of a sudden, she jumped me, because I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I know you guys never whine at your wives, but just trust me here. I was like, I don't know. And Joy lit into me. It wasn't pretty either. She said, Alan, she said, you remind me. Y'all want to hear the rest of the story? Because I'm telling my faults, and y'all just perked up. You're like, you know what me telling my faults lets you know? You're like, there's hope for me, because if he was that messed up and he's a pastor, then that means God can help me. Can we finish the story?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought she would. She's like, yeah, what happened? What did she tell you? I'll tell you what she told me. She said, you remind me of somebody sitting by the pool watching everybody else swim, and you won't get in the water. Y'all think she's sweet. That stung, man, and it stung and expensive. I mean, she's chewing. And I realized she was right. And I called Mark and Lisa Verrett. And the other couple, I said, we're going to start. Because I was delaying. Why? Fear. When you keep procrastinating, oftentimes it's fear. But thank God the Bible said God didn't give us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. I had delayed. And if I had... Say, well, Alan, what if you had never had done it? I wouldn't be the pastor here. Could fear have held me out? Yes, it could have. And that's why when fear comes, I love what Jesus said, don't be afraid, only what? Believe. Believe. So we'll believe what? So in the face of fear, you're going to have to make a choice of what you're going to believe. So we have to believe what God says in His words. This is how we receive salvation. This is how we begin to live a different life. Romans 10, 17 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens is you're saying, okay, I'm dealing with fear. I got fear with my kids, or I've got fear with my grandkids, or I've got fear with this situation, or I got fear. And people deal with fear all the time. And if you listen to people talk, fear is really normal. Just because it's normal doesn't mean it has to be ours. Just because it's normal, just because everyone has it. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? When Jesus looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid, only believe, Jairus could have looked at him and said, I can't help it, Jesus. My child just died. But Jairus did a real smart thing. He just kept his mouth shut. And so sometimes when you hear, don't fear, our minds jump in and go, we can't help it. We can't. Listen, you can help it. That's one of the biggest lies the enemy has for you is if the Lord says something, you can't do it. When you hear God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, the enemy goes, except for you. Yeah. You are all afraid. You are hopeless. And what happens is we buy things we should never buy. So what do? In the middle of fear. Say, Alan, I feel so afraid. Listen, I felt so afraid when we started the church. I remember walking into the bathroom at the Montessori Center and splashing cold water on my face. And looking in the mirror, I said, how'd you feel? Did you feel like a man of faith? No. I felt like I didn't think there's going to be anybody out there. There barely wasn't. 27 people, and that counted everybody that walked in the door, man. I think we even counted some of the bunnies and rats that we had there in the Montessori Center. But I felt it. But what do you do in the face of it? You still push against it. You can resist it. Does this make sense? And I'll tell you one of the greatest verses to help and for fear. It's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Look at this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He said he would never leave you or forsake you. What do you say? You see, what you say is, and the Bible says, now, here's the deal. He said, the Bible says, so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Did you catch that? Yep. He said, so we can boldly say. So you can walk out of here and sit in your vehicle tonight. You can start your vehicle and you can look in the mirror. You can go, the Lord is my helper. Amen. I am not going to be afraid. I want to tell you something. Just saying that will help you. He said we could boldly say it. Listen, if God says it, we can say it. We can boldly say it. You've heard me say this a gazillion times. If anyone is in Christ, he is a... Thank you for four of you who still remember that. Thank you. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Is that God's word? Yes. So what can we say about ourselves? The moment someone makes Jesus their Lord, they can stand up and go, thank you, Lord. I am a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new in my life. Yes. Have y'all done that? Have you said that? Have you ever said that? I'm a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We know that. We know that's about salvation. So the same way we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I'm not going to be afraid of what man can do to me. Amen. If you can say one, you can say the other. Sure. Right? Yes. Listen, guys, the enemy sells too many people a bill of goods. You say, the Lord is my helper. And the enemy goes, not you. Well, okay, he helps Joy and Pastor Allen, but he doesn't help me. Or people say, if the Lord was helping, listen, this is where you got to boldly say it in the face. Jairus could have gone, I can't help it, Jesus, I can't help it. Jairus at least said nothing until he got with Jesus. Listen, say what Jesus says. If he says he would help you, what do you say? He will help me. And sometimes when you're in the middle of a fearful situation, it's just good to know you got help. Amen. Yes. I feel like I'm not getting this done well enough tonight. Is this new stuff? for you? Because this is such an issue with people. People just get, the enemy just tells them lie after lie after lie. And Jesus is going, don't be afraid. Every time you see God show up on the scene, he's always going, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear paralyzes you. Fear doesn't bring the best out of you. People say, well, look, you know, fear motivated me. No, fear is not a good motivator. That's the stick. Faith is a much better motivator. I'm going to believe that God has good things for me. He doesn't make me afraid. Because you open the door to fear. And I know we got Halloween coming up, and everyone's like, oh, I just love Halloween. I just love scaring people. I love, you know, okay, great. But if you've got a problem with fear, don't be watching stupid horror movies and slasher movies where people are killing people. There's blood flying everywhere. Say, my child keeps having nightmares. Really? What kind of movies do they watch? Well, we just let them watch Friday the 13th. Well, oh, great. Have you ever watched Friday the 13th? Listen, I only watched one. I hated horror movies. Why? They scared me. And I watched one time in college. Was it Freddy Krueger? Is he Friday the 13th? Thank you. It was Jason. Jason. Thank you, guys. Jason. So I'm watching it. Never forget that. Watching it with my girlfriend at the time. The one I thank God I didn't marry. You talk about fear. Ooh. 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 Anyway, we're watching. And that's a scary movie, man. I mean, there's always somebody creeping around stupid places and going in, and you know, teenagers going places where they never should. You're like, oh, no, don't go there, don't go there. And after we watched that movie, we watched it with another couple. We're like, whew. So I'm taking her back to her dorm, and I pull up in front of the dorm. She said, aren't you coming in? I'm like, I didn't want to get out of the car. So what'd you do? Well, I parked it, and I walked her up. Both of us kind of like. And usually I was never like that. Why? You let fear in you, and you give in to fear. Now listen, we're laughing about that because that was a movie. But the enemy is constantly trying to bring fear to you. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Your kids aren't going to make it. Your business is not going to make it. You're going to go under. You're going to go into poorhouse. You're going to do this. It's always trying to bring fear. Jesus' words are still the same. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Then the key becomes, and this is why I'm so big on Project 345, reading God's Word so you know what to believe. And when you believe, and listen, if you don't do anything else but take Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, take it home, but you can put it in a little card, you can pull it out and read it. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You're believing that. Didn't say you felt it. You hear that? Didn't say you felt it. Lord, if I could just feel you, if you could just hug me, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? Say it. It will help you. And if you're just like, Alan, I don't know if I can say, can I tell you what to stop saying? Stop talking about how afraid you are. That's not helping. Alan, I need to vent. That's not Scripture. Scripture says, I'm going to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to boldly say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to boldly, listen, if you can just say those things, I'm telling you, it will help you. Because Jesus hasn't changed. If he came in and sat by your bed tonight, you're getting ready to go to bed, he sits by your bed, he's not going to look at you and go, darling, you need to be very, very afraid. He would look at you and go, no, little one, you don't need to be afraid. I said I would never leave you or forsake you. And you can always say, I'm your helper. You don't need to be afraid. If Jesus sat by your bedside tonight and he told you that, when you did get to sleep and you woke up the next day, would you wake up with a whole brand new attitude? You're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Jesus said he is helping me. Oh, yes. Bring it today because I'm ready today. Bring it. I'm ready. Hey. You don't have to have Jesus sit by your bed. His word is just, he said he's exalted his word above his name. And so I realize it's not as dramatic and it's not as wonderful, but it's just as real. So you can wake up tomorrow morning and go, hey, bring it. Because the Lord is helping me.
Amen.
Would you bow your head just for a moment? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you've exalted your word above your name, and the entrance of your words give light to us. We're grateful for that. Father, for everyone here who's thought that they could never be free from fear, that they could never live in a situation where fear was not plaguing their life, thank you that your word has come and light is coming. Thank you, Father, that we as your people, we don't have to yield to fear. We can choose to believe. What a blessing that is. Thank you for that privilege. There's no fear in heaven, and we believe, Father, we don't have to live in it here on earth. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I've never asked him to be the Savior of my life, but I would like to. Or maybe you're like I was. I was raised in church, I made a decision at a young age, but I got up so far away from God. And I knew I was away from him. Believed he still loved me, but I'm away. If that's you tonight, you say, you know, I want to come back. I want to be in fellowship with the one who loves me this much, who will help me, who will walk with me, who will make a difference in my life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. Right where you are, you can make a connection with God based on his promises that are so powerful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're the one I'm talking to, you want prayer. Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, would you pray for me? I need to come back to him, or I need him for the very first time in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thanks. Yes. Great. All right. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you're like, oh, I really wanted that. You can pray this prayer with us. We're all going to pray with you out loud. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pray this from your heart. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.